Oh, now I have to wander away and get my own. I'm going to pass around a clipboard first and foremost. If you're already signed up or you don't wish to because you support lots of good causes, just pass the clipboard on. But we're trying to communicate better by email and videos to our supporters. So if you are interested in continuing to hear about the work of Salter, consider it. But if not, pass it on. I think it's great how there's so many good causes out there that we can support to make our Lord known. So whilst I've been here in North Wales, before I came down here, I failed my audio. I'm an army reservist as well as a regional manager, and I failed my audio, which has happened before. I've got to reset next week. And then whilst I was down here, I realised I couldn't see the pages of my Bible. So a lady on a church visit urged me to get a pair of reading glasses. But I already wear very thick contact lenses. So as I equipped earlier today, the windows to my soul are now double glazed whenever I read. But I thought I'd just read a verse that's meant a lot to me, really since this time last year. It was on my mind, and since then I've had multiple times to use it. It's just a couple of verses at the end of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We live in a society where people are really slow. They're loath to get involved in spiritual things. And what I've found is whenever the topic's mentioned, all too often people are content to assume that all roads lead to heaven, that all religions are broadly the same, do good things, and you'll be all right. I met a young man in my battery in Manchester about a year ago, and he approached me during a social event, and he said, "Sir, I see you're a man of faith." I didn't quite know how to take that, okay. But he said, "I have a faith too. I'm a Roman Catholic." I said, "Oh, is that okay?" And he said, "I'm doing all these things to make sure I'm right with God, you know, in case I die." And I said, "Sounds great. You know, none of that is biblical." And he said, "Excuse me?" I said, "None of that's biblical." And we talked for a little bit, and he seemed a bit disconcerted by what I had to say. And I'd memorized this verse, these two verses. And I said, "Well, the end of John chapter 3, it's quite compelling, isn't it?" I said, "You know, God's saying everything's in his Son. He's given all authority to his Son. That's the importance, God the Father to Jesus Christ. That's how important Jesus Christ is." I said, "But ultimately, you either believe in Jesus and you're right with God, but if you don't, the wrath of God remains upon you." And his face twitched. And he said, "That's pretty stark." And I said, "It is." And I said, "You know, as a practicing Roman Catholic, you know some of these things. But that's the reality." So I've had other opportunities since with that young man. But I found it so good that whenever I'm explaining my faith, our Saviour, that I'm getting better at reading God's word, at sharing God's word. Because people won't be saved in listening to why Andy McMahon thinks God's a good God, but they'll be saved by God's word. And it's great to be able to share that. And one of the reasons I'm passionate about SASRA is because as a reservist officer, I'm better now at sharing my faith than I ever was as a regular officer. For the past 3 years, I've developed my ability to share my faith. There are two types of people I get to really speak to about Christ when the occasion permits. Soldiers as a reservist, or soldiers when I'm moving around Catholic Garrison, where we live, or older ladies walking their dogs. That's the two very distinct categories. But where I can, I try to open it up. And I'll speak about some of the tools I use. But for me, the criteria is always to bring God's word into it. And I found just a few verses in the past year have been so helpful in showing our Saviour as an exclusive Saviour. There is no other way to heaven. So things like this, they're very easy to remember, aren't they? But they're such a blessing. And they also, whenever you do get the moment to share your faith, they steel you for any awkwardness, because the stark reality is, as the young man said, it is stark. You're either in God or you're not. And if you're not, there are some very severe consequences. So that shows the urgency, really, of what we all know is speaking of Christ. So I love to speak about this subject, Sazra. I speak a little bit about what brought me into the work. I served for 20 years as a regular officer, first in the Royal Irish Home Service, and then in the Royal Artillery. And I enjoyed it. I was saved since the age of 13. I was raised in a Christian home. My father was the Reverend Stuart McMahon of the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland. And a happy upbringing. Great to be in a Christian home. My siblings are all saved as well. And joining the army was, it wasn't particularly easy. But I certainly felt that the Lord blessed me throughout. Lots and lots of fellowship, which is quite amazing when you think about statistically how few evangelical Christians there are. But I always had a fellowship. My first boss was a Christian. And my last boss, 20 years later, a colonel. He was 6 months younger than me, and a colonel, which gnawed a bit. But he was a Christian too. And one of his last gifts to me was a book on C.S. Lewis, which is just great. So the Lord really blessed me with fellowship, even against the odds, and even in war zones and in areas of conflict, I had fellowship. But what I did find really hard was to share my faith, our Saviour, with people. I felt it wasn't trained. People were busy. And I didn't really know how to share in an effective way. Whenever it came up, it often was a fractious kind of conversation. It rarely went well. But I did see the need for it. I was amongst young recruits at one stage, and I realized that all these young Englishmen really knew nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I went back to my wife that night. I said, I think we need to stay in England because these people know nothing. And unfortunately, that's just verified all the time. There's such an opportunity. And that's the word I keep coming back to within our society, and certainly within the armed forces, is opportunity. I tend to introduce my family because I'm very grateful for their support. This was taken 3 years ago, before lockdown. The two skinheads, and it was even closer than that, wanted a haircut like Daddy. So my wife authorized it. It always amuses me, so I keep that picture up. And I grew a beard because I was getting out of the regular army. But a year or two later, that's how they look. That was 2 years ago. It's hard for me to date that picture because my haircut doesn't change too much anymore. But the boys got hair like footballers, and my wife has somehow got younger. So that's probably success. We live in Catterick Garrison, and this slide reminds me that whenever I go to deputations, I have somebody praying for me all the time, and hopefully it's the church, but more often not, it's my family and it's my wife. And I've been on an army exercise even recently, and when the offer of having somebody travel with me in the car to support me in a role came up, I accepted, not because I wanted the company, but because I knew my wife was praying that out of opportunity to share the gospel. By the grace of God, I did. If you're trapped in a car with me, the odds are you're probably going to get the gospel at some stage. So that was pretty cool. But that's it. As a family, we support each other, and even the children who all profess faith, even they are of help in family evangelism and within the church. And that's really one of my points, is a scripture reader or any missionary cannot do very much without the support of the church, the universal church and many local churches. Prayer support is simply critical. And the Lord has answered those prayers. And hopefully that's one of the themes that you'll hear about in the next few minutes. But we all work together for evangelism. We live in Catford Garrison, as I mentioned. There's a new church plant there. There's lots of mention because I try to slip it into the Ready magazine whenever I can. But it's a real blessing to us. It's taken off in the past few weeks. And yeah, there are lots of degrees of overlap. I'm a reservist in Manchester. That takes up quite a lot of my time. I'm going there tomorrow for an army exercise and to tie up some details prior to Remembrance. And then I'll bounce on to our own church in Catford Garrison very soon after. So life is busy between Sazra, between Army Reserves, and life in Catford. But it's never felt more full than it does now. And really, it's because we've got opportunities. Whether my wife's at the gate, or I'm meeting churches and telling them about some successful evangelism, which is a lot of what we do. There's real joy in that. And I haven't really encountered that prior to the past 3 years. We in Sazra, we often reflect upon the military as a great body of unreached people. When I was in Somalia 5 years ago, it struck me that many of the Africans knew of Jesus Christ and the scriptures in a way that our society did maybe 30, 40 years ago, but they don't seem to now. The people who knew nothing about Jesus Christ and about the gospel would be those from Muslim nations, such as Djibouti or Somalia, or the average British soldier. I actually had fellowship, quite remarkably, with a soldier from a charismatic church. He was from the Caribbean, and that was a real blessing. And I had some really good fellowship with the Mogadishu Fellowship, lots of African nations. But amongst the average British soldier there, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was simply a swear word, and they knew no better. And again, there's this great lack of knowledge across our society. So it's an unreached people. I think our society is an unreached people. But the youth inside the military is an unreached people to which we have opportunity to share the gospel with to a greater extent than many parts of our society. So there are four things that I like to bring out about what a soldier or an airman, or as the RAF are calling them now, aviators. That might indicate something of the spirit of our society, but it's a gender-neutral term, as they call it. Sazra is adopting it as well. Simply, there are men and women in the RAF. I think the new executive director expresses it much better than I do. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't change the A in Sazra, so our branding can largely remain the same. But that's what we'll be known as, the Soldiers and Aviators Scripture Readers Association. The four things I like to bring out about the military are, first of all, their youth. One in, the average age is 29 years old, but one in four is under the age of 25. And they'll mostly be going through the training establishments. So that's where we seek to prioritise scripture readers, men and women, who've trained in the army, who've worked in the army and the RAF, and who are prepared to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and work within our basis of belief, which is very conservative evangelical. And they are enabled to go into the army and RAF barracks. But the young people, there's a real opportunity there amongst the youth of our nation. And I think that excites me more than anything else. Previously, I was quite excited as a soldier, as an officer, that young soldiers and airmen could be shared the gospel. But now, as a citizen of the UK, I'm really excited about the fact that this is a large swathe of our society to whom we can share the gospel with in an effective manner. The challenge really is to have more scripture readers. The second thing I bring out is that they're mostly male. About 90% across the armed forces are male. And across the wider Christian church in the United Kingdom, we're approaching we're in a disparity at the moment. We're unbalanced in terms of there are more ladies than there are men within the wider Christian church. So for me, reaching out to young men, I think, is a great opportunity. And if you want more leaders for the church and for families, I think it's a great opportunity. So I'm particularly excited about it as mission to men. The third thing I think, which is important, is these are often people from low-income backgrounds, from working class, poverty. A lot of the church is often middle class. And I think we struggle to reach out to other parts of our society in ways that maybe years ago the church could. Within my son's high school, out of his five or six friends, ours is the only family which has both parents married to each other. The rest are all broken families. And I can assure you, you don't have to look very far on a Saturday morning to see the brokenness of the area around us. Soldiers' families, there's the detritus of alcohol, of fighting, sometimes bloodied clothes, literally, on the ground where he walked the dog. And there's a lot of hurt going on behind closed doors. And a lot of this is from families who haven't known a secure family, young men who haven't known a secure family. One of the indicators of that as well is the average reading age of the young men in the infantry training centre in Catterick Garrison. The average reading age of young men in their 20s is between 7 and 9 years old. So that's indicative of the background that they come from. But again, to me, that screams the word opportunity to share with such people the scriptures. And the fourth thing I love to bring out is they're different. They're respectful and confident young people in a way that the average young person on the street who's texting into his phone, whose hood might be up, and who can't look you in the eye, they're very different. They're trained to be respectful. Now, I may have said this last year, but I think it illustrates the point quite well. I was walking my dog in Borough Bridge before we moved in North Yorkshire, and there's a young man in the street in camouflage uniform, and I surmised that he was from the logistics regiment in Dishforth, just around the corner. So we struck up conversation, and I wanted some reason to introduce him to my church and speak of our faith. So I spoke to him about what I believed, and I mentioned the church, and that's what brought me here there. And then I said to him, "What about you? Do you have a faith?" And that expression I learned from one of my scripture readers, and it's incredibly useful. Straight away, you bring the whole thing into the spiritual dimension, and it's a very soft question that will prompt a response from most people. And then they can talk about themselves. It's very open. It flows forward. So this young man said, "I do, actually, thank you. I'm an atheist. But I believe you go somewhere when you die, and I think there's someone looking down over all of us." So I stared at my dog. My dog stared back at me. I simultaneously prayed, and I said, "By any chance, are you a vegetarian who really likes barbecues? Because that makes no sense. It contradicts itself." And he laughed, and he said, "Yeah, I guess I haven't thought about this." And I think that's just it. Eternity is on the heart of man. And the scripture readers have a form which they introduce to the recruits. On this form it says, "Tell us about yourselves. Do you come from a religious family? Do you have a religious upbringing? Do you have a faith?" And most people, they used to tick Anglican or Catholic. Now most people tick no religion or atheist. But at the end of the form, the scripture readers will ask a question. "Would you like to hear more about Jesus Christ? Would you like to be prayed for?" And quite a few tick that they want to hear more about Christianity. And most of them tick the box asking for prayer. So why do so many atheists want to be prayed for? Okay, you don't have to look very far, do you, to find that answer. But the opportunity is there, and there are people within their midst, particularly in the training establishments, as they're going through this significant life change. Their bodies are changing, they're being educated, they're learning at a faster rate than they've ever done before, they're growing in confidence and ability, they're willing to speak about their fears, they're willing to ask questions. And we have this opportunity with our scripture readers amongst them to speak of the gospel. So those are four things that I love to bring out about the opportunity that we have with the young men and women in the armed forces. So what are they doing at the moment? Well, there's still armed intervention within Africa. When I was in Somalia, I was armed with a pistol, as were all my men and women. And in Mali, which is recently, I think it's just recently closed down, we had a battle group out with rifles and machine guns looking for Islamic insurgents. And that did result in armed action this time last year. Within the Middle East, we still have RAF flights striking ISIS targets. Not as frequently as a few years ago, but intermittently, they still offer support to the host nation in that area. And we have training teams there as well, training Iraqi nationals and Syrians and some others. So there's still lots going on in the world. The RAF continue to fly, protecting the skies against Russian interference. And there's lots of signals intelligence being hoovered up in Eastern Europe as well, as you can surmise. And there are plenty of RAF flights going on as well, delivering material out to Eastern Europe. So the world is changing quite rapidly, which we'll come back to in a moment. We still have a role to support the civil authority whenever things go bad. I don't need to mention too much about that. But even my reservists in the past week have stood down from a task where they were assisting the government. But the main thing I would bring out is everyday life. And everyday life for a service person is often exercise or barrack room life. And both have threats. On exercise, there is heavy armour. There are plenty of vehicles, young men in vehicles. It's not a great combination. And lots of live ammunition on these as well. You get any one of those can create problems, and a combination frequently does. Now, the armed forces work really hard to keep the risk to life as low as reasonably possible. I have quite a few risk assessments and criteria to achieve before I can safely train. And it's great. We value our nation's youth. But the reality is things still go wrong. We have to train hard for future eventualities, and unfortunately things do go wrong. The other great danger is within the barracks itself. Young men and women left to their own devices or amongst each other with alcohol, things go very badly wrong. There's plenty of sin. One of the problems of COVID was lots of young people were stuck in their rooms by themselves for weeks at a time. You put a young man in a room with a phone and no moral guidance and no checks. Things go wrong. And the scripture readers were called upon to help out as best they could because welfare was overwhelmed. But within barracks, tragedies do happen. Open source news, there was a young lady who took her own life this time last year in the artillery barracks in Lark Hill. It's on the news. That kind of tragedy, it still happens. And it's really sad. Within Catholic Garrison, there was about one person taking their life every month for a prolonged period of time. So that's pretty rough. I remember one morning, two people had committed suicide before the dawn broke. And that's in one weekend. So there are plenty of threats to our nation's youth in the armed forces. Two kinds of events, really focused us as SASRA and hopefully the church. The first was the evacuation from Kabul 2 years ago. So when Afghanistan fell to the Taliban, created lots of issues, not least PTSD for a lot of my colleagues who served there. But the point is this. Whenever it fell, our nation's youth, if they were in uniform, they had to run, pack their bags, day sacks, and get to the airhead. And within hours, they were deployed overseas to Kabul. And there, they met with all sorts. They had to secure the airfield. It was chaotic. Thousands of people running around. Children were literally passed across barbed wire fences. And there was just, people were distraught. I know of at least one guy who narrowly avoided a bomb that went off on the outskirts. It killed several Americans and quite a few Afghans. It was planted by ISIS-K. Now, on that deployment, and on the other deployment I would mention, the evacuation from Sudan just a few months ago, no British personnel lost their lives during those deployments, which I think is quite remarkable, and praise God. So at this point, I would urge, if our nation's forces deploy, please do pray as individuals and a church. Maybe the Lord is answering prayer there and that nobody lost their lives, no serving British forces. But it shows how quickly things can change within a few hours. You can be leaving, on this occasion, people were leaving their holidays and running to the sound of the guns. So things can change very quickly. The time to hear the gospel is now. The day of salvation is now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The second thing, and this isn't so much about urgency as it is about the scale of a potential problem. We were talking about conflict earlier and what may be forthcoming. Well, the war in Ukraine has certainly focused a lot of attention in most people's minds. Less so in recent days, the tragedy in Israel. But from a military point of view, Ukraine, because that's very close to NATO countries, and we have a NATO commitment there. So I taught in Ukraine a few years ago. There are undoubtedly people whom I've trained who have probably been killed in the conflict. it's quite a large piece. And our nation is doing a lot to support Ukraine in that. Now, we've got no armed individuals officially on the ground in Ukraine at this time, nor is the aspiration to send anybody there. But conflicts don't tend to be controlled very well by mankind. So we don't know how things are going to develop. As Christians, I think we can be mindful that conflicts can grow. So if our nation gets swept into that or another conflict, it's probably going to be a large one. And that's a real concern. Again, we want to share the gospel now. There are over 100,000, 110,000 regular army and RAF. Now, we don't cover the Navy. The Navy years ago, we believe, had scripture readers, but they seem to disappear from records soon after World War II. But the Army had scripture readers for about 185 years, and when the RAF came about, then 100 years or so ago, we were able to branch into the RAF as well. So we represent the Army and the RAF. If the opportunity was there to have scripture readers in the Navy, we would jump at it. It's just not there in the short term. But across the Army and the RAF, we have over 110,000. Now, many of those are living behind the wire, and that's the point of SAZRA. It's not just that they're probably optimized to share the gospel because of their past military experience and their training as evangelists. The point is that they're going where the church cannot. The church cannot go behind the wire because they don't have identity cards, authorization, security clearance. But scripture readers do. They're mandated to share the gospel by us, but the MOD allows them to go on to support the chaplaincy. And that's what gets scripture readers onto the bases, to go where the church cannot, and that's the point. So we're currently working across the United Kingdom. A few bases change from time to time. We don't have as many scripture readers as the dots, unfortunately. That's just a coverage, an indicator now of the coverage that we have. Even recently it's changed. A scripture reader, Ronnie McLeod, up in Inverness, Fort George, he's recently resigned. And he's working for a Christian mission on the Isle of Lewis. So things do change, but we'll speak more about that in a moment. So how do we take the gospel as SAZRA to young men and women in the armed forces? Well, with the guy in the forefront, that's Dave Hossack. He's a fellow church planter, scripture reader, one of my best friends, and a babysitter as well, which I'm grateful for. Dave is 62 years old, rides a motorcycle around Capric Garrison, is extremely fit. On the 24th of June, he cycled 200 miles in one day. It was a bit of a time challenge. He beat quite a few people who were a lot younger than him. 10 days later, he cycled with a team from the Infantry Training Centre, again, everybody much younger than him, cycled from Edinburgh down to Capric Garrison, 161 miles. Why is that worthy of mention? Because Dave is three times the age of many, if not most, of the young people who are going through training. But we want to have the best gospel delivery mechanism. We want to have people who are respected, whom the young ones will listen to whenever they're sharing the things of Christ. And David Hossack is one such person. He's got a lot of credibility with motorcycles, extreme fitness, former infantry, but he loves the Lord and he's passionate about sharing the gospel. David's always really clear. He always preaches law, or he shares law before grace. As he says quite rightly, people need to be aware of what they're being saved from before they need to hear about the solution. And he's had some real blessing recently. I'm always struck at how forthright David can be, but do so in a really soft manner. He will ask a young person after a bit of conversation, and maybe they're not agreeing on points. He'll say, okay, young fellow, we've got a part, but can I ask you a question? If you were to die tonight, where will you spend eternity? And that unsettles quite a few people. And that leads to further conversation. And it's a powerful one, isn't it? But you need to have a bond of trust or at least respect before you can really have those hard-hitting kind of comments and conversations. But David's had some real joy in the past few months. Several guys have come forward, made professions of faith through his ministry. And it's just been a real joy. We hear about them. Several of them have not been able to stay on in the army because of their health. But as they've left, David's found them churches. That's a big thing. That's something we don't do, is we don't disciple. We don't replace the church. We always get the young person to a church. Tian, whom we'll talk about shortly, Tian would say, people really need to, you know, people can rely upon Tian because he loves the Lord. His head is in the Bible. He loves to share the truth. But the reality is, some people treat that as a substitute for church because it's convenient, because they want their Sundays. Our scripture readers will always rebuke and get them to a church. Tian will drive them to a church on the Lord's Day. So you've got to be plugged into a church. And that's the theme we'll come back to. So David's had a really good recent period. It's been a real joy. He would say it's like buses. You don't see any fruit for a while, or nothing comes along, and then several come along at once. It seems to be. And on our WhatsApp group, as a church, we get messages whenever somebody's put their faith in the Lord. So now we're amongst the first to hear, which is great. I would say we use the phrase professions of faith, because we don't know what's in the heart of man. So that seems to me to be an appropriate way of reflecting it. But what we can see is in most people, certainly in the short term afterwards, as best as we can track, is there's a lot of fruit in keeping with repentance. So that's really, really encouraging. Tian's thriving in Lyneham, which is the home to the largest regiment in the British Army. It's the REMI, the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. And lots of intelligent young men and women who want to work on the vehicles and the equipment of the British Army. So it's very science-based. And Tian's, you've got to have your head screwed on and be a confident individual to operate in that atmosphere. I think he's had the Professor Andy McIntosh down speak to people before to challenge some assumptions. And Tian's not afraid in challenging their assumptions. A lot of these young men come in and they can be a bit haughty sometimes because of what they assume. They know their science, and that somehow defeats religion. And Tian's just the person to confront that and challenge it. Recent weeks, Tian's great hospitality opens up his home to people. A lot of people haven't experienced a happy family life, let alone a Christian one. So it's a witness in itself, just opening your home to people so they can see what a Christian lifestyle looks like. Tian will share the gospel with them. A young man came to him and said, I believe he was a recent convert through Tian's ministry. He said, Tian, you need to increase the rate at which you're having courses. Now, one of the problems with a Christianity Explored course in a military setting is that several courses, the military moves so fast that training sometimes supersedes that. You can't have the same people for throughout each week. That's a bit of a problem. So Tian's developed a shorter course that I believe impresses individuals with the fundamentals of Christianity. It's called Faith or Fake. And off the back of one of those courses, three people put their faith in Christ, made professions of faith, I should add. And that was just a few weeks ago. This month, I believe he's running another Faith or Fake course. So that'll be, God willing, that'll be blessed with more fruit. But Tian's thriving and just doing really well at Lyneham. He's been in for quite some years now. Steve Curdy at RAF Rise Norton. Steve's background is an engineer. We don't get very many applicants to become scripture readers who are former RAF. I'm not quite sure why that is. There are some trends. But for whatever reason, it's very difficult. So Meg Atkinson retired at Christmas, the festive season last year. And she, with her moving on, thankfully we had somebody in place. Steve Curley was there. Now we repurposed Steve as an army scripture reader. He came across from Colchester. As he was leaving Colchester, the chaplain wasn't able to take the service, and I asked Stephen to do so. And Steve worked on a 20-minute message, really the gospel, that he could share with people whom he loved, but whom he was going to have to leave behind as he moved to Bryce Norton. And off the back of that, several people, again, made professions of faith. So he moved into Bryce Norton, and there were difficulties. Some were quite severe. It was not an easy time for him. It was a struggle. We're just going through Acts 5 in the church, It's not quite at that level, but there was some opposition. But the RAF really welcomed him in. There was a great big banner. Now, I would say it's no small thing whenever you take somebody from the army and put them into an RAF environment. I'll say this quite frequently. The RAF are a bunch of highly intelligent individuals whose job is to keep expensive aircraft above the ground, defying gravity for long periods of time. The army is a bunch of guys who break things. So the two communities aren't, you don't go from one to the other quite so readily. So we need to have somebody who's intelligent, who's articulate, who knows the scriptures, and who can fit into that light blue, that RAF community. And both the script readers, as we have now, are just those kind of people. And Steve is that in abundance. And he's just got a soft air about him. He loves to speak to people about the gospel, and he's just doing so well. What's all the more remarkable about Steve is that Steve suffers with chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, 2 years ago, he was on a sofa, couldn't leave the sofa. His wife was doing everything for the children, working, walking the dog, and as a husband and provider, he just felt awful. He was one of the fittest men in the British Army, apparently, before this incident. And this just really crippled him. Well, by the grace of God, and the Lord answering lots of prayer, Steve has made a big recovery. It's not a full recovery, but a large portion of health has returned to him. What I find really encouraging with Steve is that in his limited capacity, which is gradually increasing, I would add, but in his limited capacity, he maximizes whatever health he has, whatever resources he has, to do his job, to share the gospel. Steve wrestles with his diet. He's very precise. He's currently losing weight quite quickly, but also because he knows that if he eats certain foodstuffs that he enjoys to eat, that will deplete his energy reserve, and therefore he can't share the gospel for as long if he eats the foods he wants to eat, so he doesn't eat them. He rests at certain times of the day, consciously so, avoiding activities specifically so he can maximize his energy to go into the barracks and speak to people about Jesus Christ. With that kind of limited time, you would think that his ministry would be very limited compared to other scripture readers, but it would appear that that's not the case. Steve is thriving and doing really well. And I find it huge encouragement when I travel around quite a bit. A common complaint amongst the church is a mixture of age and health. Well, actually, there's a man who's quite young, but extremely limited in his health. And he's doing as much as he can to make the Saviour known. So I find that really encouraging. It's another way of looking at the phrase, wrestling with the flesh, I think. But Steve's a real encouragement to me and a great example of somebody who shares the gospel. He's joined by another Steve. This Steve is from Northern Ireland. This is Steve Docherty, living in the London area. And Steve's recently started work in RAF Northolt. Now, he's been training for the past year. He's finished his training. Steve was formerly a reservist logistics soldier, I think, for 6 years. And again, we had to bring him in and use him as an RAF. But he's just got the right temperament for that. He's really lovely, winsome personality. Just excellent. We had a real problem. He didn't get any security clearance, and we're still waiting on it, as far as I'm aware. And this was a big cause of concern. You can't go into a barracks without being escorted, which is a huge burden. Chaplaincy could only get him on at short periods of time. Huge frustration to a man who wants to get in there. And you think about the Apostle Paul, and he sometimes couldn't go where he wanted to go. Well, Steve couldn't go on to the RAF barracks to do his job, to tell people about Jesus Christ. And this and a few other matters really weighed upon him. Well, recently, we've had a real blessing. So he's not received his security clearances yet, but we believe the station commander there has just welcomed him and said that he'll set the conditions for Steve to come on unescorted and to just do his job. And he's offered his support, whatever Steve needs. And I think that's just so encouraging that God's servant can be supported by the chain of command that way. So that's very much a real answer to prayer. We've got some new blood as well. Young Patrick Steen has just joined us. He's going through his training now. We're not quite sure where Patrick's going to be. I'd love it if he could go to Salisbury Plain. Lots of soldiers in the Salisbury Plain area. I was based there for years. And I think it's really sad that we don't have a scripture reader there at the moment. But there's a huge opportunity. I would add that many of these locations I've mentioned, one scripture reader does not go very far. Within Catholic Garrison, there are, I don't know how many units, large units, I might say a dozen. David Hossack is limited to the Infantry Training Centre. He simply, there's not enough time for him to go elsewhere. So, you know, whenever it says David Hossack is in Catholic Garrison, most of the military units there have limited to no access to a scripture reader. So we really do need more workers for the harvest. In terms of supporter engagement, it's a challenge for myself, my colleague David Malam down south, less so for Paul in Northern Ireland, but as regional managers, it's quite hard to go to churches. Now, North Wales, for me, is a great blessing because for the sake of a few days, I can bounce around and see quite a few churches, and I thoroughly enjoy it. In fact, I should have started with saying I've enjoyed the past couple of years in North Wales so much that this year I brought my family here. We stayed in Ruthin for a holiday. Had a great time. So I had a great time and met a couple of SASRA contacts as well within the on the north coast. So for us, it's a real challenge. How do we use our time? I'm tucked away in North Yorkshire. I can't drive 3.5 hours down to Birmingham all the time. So how do we use our time? And supporter engagement is a big problem for us. How do we best enthuse the church? So we go to conventions where we can. Went to Grace Baptist Assembly, Keswick, missed out on Word Alive. God willing, I'll get Word Alive this year. It's great. I love to meet God's people and just tell them about this work. But we're changing the way we do things. So we're using more electronic newsletters, emails to supporters, updates, often with videos embedded. And the picture on the right is a screenshot of one of those videos. That's Paul Curd up in Edinburgh. Paul Curd is a very softly spoken individual, more so than most of the scripture readers. But he's got a fantastic ministry. It's very much one-to-one. So Paul, when he was down in Chepstow, he would just go walking with individuals, people who are suffering, and that gave him opportunity to share the gospel. Well, Paul's really been welcomed up there in Edinburgh. In fact, it's taken myself and the communications editor, John Surtees, who's formerly the area rep of Scotland, has taken our breath away, just how the Lord's blessed him. He and Karen have been really supported by the local church. There's a prayer meeting for him every week. He backdates them on his progress. The church is increasingly involved in that ministry, and they're supporting him as he goes into Dreghorn Barracks and Redford Barracks. That video, they asked him to shoot a video of just a little bit, a flavour of his work, and that was during the Edinburgh Tattoo. And Paul got access, which we haven't had for years, into the backstage areas of the Edinburgh Tattoo, so he could meet people whilst they're preparing in their quiet moments. What a great opportunity to share the gospel. So that video is Paul just bouncing around, meeting people and talking to the camera. But it's all done in such a winsome way. It's funny because he didn't think very much of it. That's actually my favourite video. But it's great to share that kind of content with people because it's successful evangelism. We're talking about the problems, but also the successes as well. So it's great to be able to share that with our supporters and with the church. For advocate communications as well, individuals within a church, we're not giving out individual copies of Ready magazine anymore. I've brought some today. Please do take them all. That'd be great. But we can't send out individuals to our houses. The cost was getting prohibitive. But if there's an advocate in a church who's willing to represent the church as a point of contact within SASRA, and I correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you have one here in this church, but an advocate can get several copies of Ready magazine. I think the minimum is six. Then at least you've got a hard copy and other literature as required to distribute amongst the church. And I think, speaking as a regional manager, I love the content that we have. I think the Ready magazines are really good, some great stories, but it just points towards successful evangelism. Representative communications are a bit like that. We're trying to get more people to do my job as volunteers, to tell people about SASRA through PowerPoint. And virtual prayer meetings. COVID really gave this a shot in the arm. This was a huge blessing. We started to create virtual prayer meetings twice on the first Thursday of every month. Details are in the correspondence or in the literature here. But I tend to be in the evenings, and then in the afternoon it's my colleague David Malam. But the prayer secretary, Laura, she's very good at coordinating this, and we'll get dozens of people online and they'll hear from a scripture reader about how their work's going. It'll just be it's often so encouraging, but they also share their disappointments as well. And it's great to hear the news from the front line. We also get an overview from headquarters, and maybe some of the staff might speak as well. But that point is to get supporters from across the UK together to pray together using Zoom. And it's proved to be a great blessing. And physical gatherings, where we can support, less so. We're trying to look at how to use time more efficiently. What I would say is, within Wales, I'm down here for a week, so as many churches as I can get into a week in Wales, I'm very happy to do. One of the great things we do is issue out Bibles as well. Recently, 97 out of 100 took Bibles, I think it was the parachute intake. So that's a great blessing as well. We've had some recent changes. Meg Atkinson retired, but we had Steve in place. And that's just been such a blessing to continue the RAF presence at Bryce Norton. In the past year, some other changes. So, we've lost Jim Henderson, who's retired. Ronnie McLeod resigned just a few weeks ago. And Meg left at Christmas. We've had a new executive director, Colonel Martin Glinicky. And he's proved to be a great blessing to the association. There's new direction, new engagement with the council. And it's just brilliant to have him at the helm as we move forward. We've also got a new ministry director as well. I've yet to meet him, but he seems to be settling in. And selection and recruitment is forthcoming, God willing. What I would say is we've got over 30 people applying to be scripture readers. Or that might be between developed expressions of interest and applications. There's a huge amount of interest in becoming a scripture reader in contrast to previous years. So that's a huge blessing. Now, we can only train so many at a time. We can only fund so many at a time. So resourcing, finances, is going to be a challenge. You have to increase to pay them. But we're hoping to take on 3 to 4 scripture readers this year. And that's going to be a massive jump forward. So that's a real blessing. But inevitably, we lose people as the year goes on. There's always a churn. People leave and often return to local ministry. We lost Lee McDade. And he's thriving now as a pastor in Colchester. So there are changes to the literature, but there's no change to the message that Christ is the only hope for all of us. And that's just in the Garrison Church there, Dave Hossack, and a really supportive, God-fearing chaplain as well, who's been a great blessing to Dave up there in Kettrick. So that's really the challenge. Yep, I think we'll leave it there. So that's the challenge as I see it. How do we take the gospel to those three and the rest of their comrades? And it is a challenge. It takes opportunity and so on. But it's a great blessing to do so. And that's, you know, scripture readers are full of heart for their work. They thoroughly enjoy it, I would say. Yeah. So do think. A lot of these things, I say, for any Christian mission, our family supports a variety of Christian missions and these are the things we'd support for each of them. So prayer, I've mentioned virtual prayer meetings. Our prayer resources are moving, again, online. The cost of postage was significant. So we're creating online resources, but they can be printed off. They're designed so they can be printed off into homes or by somebody in the church. Giving as well, financial giving. I think don't need to mention that too much more. But a volunteer or an active individual in the church. I say active. It's not a demanding role. It's almost exclusively to receive literature and to share literature. And that could include the partner emails that we send out, the spoke emails for those individuals in the church who are representative or an advocate for them to SASRA. Great. I'll leave on that slide. And that's the challenge. How will they hear? And I would suggest we have that for our society. I think if We talk about how we want young people to hear the gospel. Recently, one of my former neighbors passed away in his 80s. And I know that myself, the previous two families in that house were all Christian, and they had shared the word of God with him and his wife. And time after time, it was rejected. And I'm not aware that he embraced Christ before he passed away. So whenever we talk about tragedy, I'm not trying to manipulate you and say it's all about the young people in the armed forces. There's great tragedy across our nation. But what we do have is opportunity. Time is now to share the gospel. There's great opportunity amongst the armed forces. And Fraser is very glad to be able to offer Christ to them. So thank you.